Greymoor Friars Monastery is located on Atonement Mountain near Garrison, New York. Adjacent to this famous monastery, one sees St. Christopher's Inn. Homeless men from all walks of life come to this famous inn. These men are fed and sheltered by the Greymoor Friars, and no distinction is ever made of race, creed, or color. You are invited to listen to another chapter of the dramatized story, The Life of Christ, brought to you transcribed each week by the Greymoor Friars, who offer this series with the prayerful hope that this vivid portrayal of the life of Christ will help to awaken in you a deeper personal love of God and a firm determination to strive to prove that love in your daily life. Now, Chapter 22, Lessons to the 12. Come, children, hearken to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who loves life, who desires the day in order to enjoy good things? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from deceitful words. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek after peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their cries. The countenance of the Lord is turned against those who do evil things, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. When Jesus took James, John, and Peter to the mountain where he was transfigured, the 9 other disciples were left in a small village nearby. A man came to them with his son.
Are you not the followers of Jesus?
Yes. I am Matthew.
My name is Ezra. This is my son.
Why is the boy in chains?
He is possessed by a deaf and dumb demon. I was told that if I brought him to the followers of Jesus, you might say the magic words. The magic words that would cure him.
What's going on here? Why have you gathered? You old man, what are you doing with that boy?
I was just saying, sir, he is possessed. I have brought him to these good men, the followers of Jesus, that they might cure him.
So you're followers of Jesus, are you?
Yes.
Where is he?
May I ask who you are?
Just answer my questions. It's enough for you to know I have the authority to ask them.
You are from the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem?
Yes, if you must know. Now, where is this one you call the master?
He went up the mountain.
What for?
I don't know.
When will he be back?
I expect him at any moment.
Well, I can't wait around all day. Why haven't you people paid the temple tax?
We've been moving about and were out of the territory when it was collected.
You're here now, so you can pay up.
Can't you wait until the master returns? We will speak to him about it.
I just told you I can't. No, wait. Perhaps he will refuse to pay the tax, since he disregards the other customs.
Please, sir. Please, can't you collect the tax later? Please, I've brought my boy to be cured.
By all means, old man. bring the boy forward. Boy, step forward. What, don't you want to be cured?
Sir, he is deaf and dumb. Help me! He is as strong as an ox when he's like this. He'll be quiet now. There, now, my son. Stand quietly. These men are here to help you. They will make you whole again. Now, sir, if you will be so kind.
Thou deaf and dumb spirit, I command thee, go out of this boy and enter him no more.
Well, wonder worker, you'd better try again.
Begone, evil spirit. Leave this boy. I command it.
Get thee gone, evil spirit. They seem not to hear you, fellow. Perhaps you didn't speak loud enough.
The power has gone from me. Philip, you try.
I'm sorry I haven't time to see this. I must go. Tell your master we'll look for him in Capernaum. And his temple tax is overdue.
And Philip and Thomas and Simon and all the others tried but did not succeed in driving the evil spirit from the boy. And they were disheartened at the laughter and taunts of the scribes and the Pharisees. And the crowd looked on and snickered at their discomfort. And none noticed Jesus, who had come down from the mountain and had entered the village.
Master, look at the crowd around Matthew. There's something wrong. James, John, let's hurry.
Here comes the master with James and Peter and John.
Please do.
I will tell him about the boy.
Matthew, what is it?
This man brought his son to us.
What are you arguing about among yourselves?
Master, I have brought to thee my son, who has a dumb spirit, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth, and he is wasting away. And I told thy disciples to cast it out, but they could not.
Matthew, is this true?
Yes, Peter. I tried. Philip tried. All of us. Our power left us. Master, I can't understand what happened.
Oh, unbelieving generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me.
Yes. Yes, Master. Look out! Stand clear of the tree. He's convulsed. Stand aside. It will pass soon. It's always like this when the spirit takes him.
How long is it since it came upon him?
From his infancy. Oftentimes it has thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us.
If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him who believes.
I do believe. I do believe. Help my disbelief.
Thou deaf and dumb spirit, I command thee, go out of him and enter him no more.
Thank you.
is dead. A spirit has destroyed him.
My son, my son.
Master. He is not dead. He breathes.
Boy, take my hand. Arise.
He lives. He is cured.
Come. Let us leave this place.
Master, why could not we cast it out?
Because of your little faith. For amen, I say to you, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, remove from here, and it will remove, and nothing will be impossible to you.
Oh, Master, a mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds, and yet we could not cast the evil out of the boy.
But this kind can be cast out only by prayer and fasting.
And leaving that place, they were passing through Galilee. And Jesus did not wish anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples.
The Son of Man is to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And on the third day he will rise again.
Peter, again he speaks of betrayal and death and rising on the third day. I don't understand it.
Nor do I, Matthew.
Couldn't you go to him and ask what he means?
No, I dare not.
But it saddens all of us to hear him speak like this and to remind us that he will not always be with us.
He is but teaching us to be reliant and to have more confidence in ourselves.
But who would even think of putting him to death?
Perhaps this is a parable. Of course, he has annoyed the leaders of the temple no end. Though they would like to question him, I doubt seriously if any would dare harm him.
But we wander about Galilee, avoiding the scribes and the Pharisees, as if he were fearful of them. Why, Peter?
I think you're imagining things.
I hope so.
Let me put your mind at rest. Jesus is returning to Capernaum, which is swarming with delegates from Jerusalem.
And they came unto Capernaum, Jesus' own city, where the scribes and the Pharisees had, during his absence, raised questions to spread doubt about him. And they kept saying that Jesus cast out devils by Beelzebub, until many of the people began to believe them. And many of the people turned their backs and walked no more with Jesus.
Peter, I have the feeling things have changed since we were last in Capernaum.
Yes, Matthew. I don't mind that the crowds no longer besiege us. We have more time with the Master. But I hear them talking among themselves, and they say Capernaum would be better off without Jesus. He's a danger rather than a blessing.
Yes. Now that he's cured every sick man in the place, the man who is well doesn't knock at the physician's door. You must go carefully. And you, Peter, must try to restrain the Master so that he doesn't scandalize the authorities.
Wait! Wait, you two!
Who calls?
Greetings. You remember me, don't you?
Yes.
Then you must recall my mention of the temple tax. It's still unpaid.
I'm interested in what your master will say.
The temple tax?
Yes, the temple tax. I'm sure you've heard of it. I can quote it for you if you wish. And this shall everyone give that passeth at the naming. Half a sickle.
Never mind, I know the tax.
Does your master not pay the didrachma?
Yes.
He does. I do not have his name recorded on my tablets. Here it is October. The tax was due in April. But I won't press. If your master refuses to pay the tax, so be it. Good day, Matthew.
Strange he should mention the tax now.
No. It's an indication of the change in attitude. When Jesus was here in April, he was curing people by the dozens. It would have been miserly of them to ask for this pittance of the tax now. Well, they don't hesitate. Peter.
Yes?
Perhaps you should not have agreed so quickly that the master would pay the tax.
Oh, I'm sure he will pay when asked.
Would he not have paid at the time if he were concerned about the tax?
Matthew, you disturb me with this. What could I do? Tell him the master would not pay it?
Come, what's done is done. We'd best get back with the provision.
Here's the bread, and the fish, and the wine. You should have seen the merchant who tried to sell me stale fish. Me, Peter. How he changed his tune when I told him I was a fisherman. Then he found fresh ones fast enough.
Peter.
And... Yes, master.
Peter, what dost thou think? From whom do the kings of the earth receive tribute or customs? From their own sons or from others?
From others. Master, you know then about the temple tax.
The sons, then, are exempt?
Yes, master. I regret. I spoke in haste when I told them you did pay the tax. I did not know.
But that we may not give offense to them, go to the sea, cast a hook, and take the first fish that comes up. And opening its mouth, thou wilt find the stater. Take that. Give it to them. For me and for thee.
Yes, master. I'll go at once.
Fishing, Peter? One would think you would be at the side of your master instead of amusing yourself here.
I have just left the master.
And a fine catch, I must say. I suggest you continue fishing and sell your catch, and pay the temple tax.
Here, take this stater. It will pay the tax.
Very well. Here is your shekel in change.
Keep it.
But the stater is worth 2 shekels.
I pay the tax for the master and for myself.
After paying the tax, Peter returned to Jesus, who took his disciples and left that place on a tour of Galilee. And the master walked alone, and those that followed him discussed among themselves their places in the kingdom of heaven which Jesus had promised.
Don't be despondent. Though we have lost many followers because of the Pharisees, in the end everything will be all right. His kingdom will be founded. And we will be his faithful servants.
You are very confident, Peter. Is it because the master gave you such a high position in the kingdom?
Well, there's no question about that. Peter will be first when Jesus establishes his kingdom.
I don't dispute it.
But why?
But where do the others fit in? How are the positions to be allotted?
What do you mean, Matthew?
Will men be selected for positions of authority because of special qualifications, or will they be selected Because of seniority.
Oh, I'm sure because of special ability.
In that case, Judas here will outrank you, John. Even though he joined us much later than you or Peter or Andrew. He has held higher position than any of us.
Then you think that what men did before they joined Jesus should determine their rank in the kingdom?
I didn't say that. I merely raised the question.
Come, come. You should not discuss such things.
Your position's settled. That's why you don't relish the discussion. But it's something for the rest of us to think about.
Matthew's right. We must think about it.
It will have to be settled sometime.
Then perhaps he who has most faith should be selected for the most important position.
And just how is faith measured? Do you suggest that one has less faith than another?
No, no, of course not. Perhaps the ability to preach or to perform miracles.
In that case, John the Thunderer will be first. But I don't see that the one with the strongest voice is necessarily better qualified than he who can work miracles more frequently.
As you did with the possessed boy?
You were on the mountain with Jesus, so you didn't get a chance to try. You might not have done any better.
Come, come, stop this unseemly discussion. Suppose the master should overhear you. He would not like it.
But, Peter, the master should be thinking of this himself. You should take this up with him.
You can hardly expect me to bring up the subject.
But if the opportunity presents itself, will you?
Yes, yes, Matthew. But now let us find the master.
What were you arguing on the way?
Master, how did you know...
There was some discussion.
We were talking among ourselves.
It was just idle talk, Master.
Peter can tell you...
Master... Who thinkest thou is the greater in the kingdom of heaven?
If any man wishes to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all.
Master, I don't understand this saying. Is it...
And Jesus took a little child and set it in the midst of them. And taking it unto his arms, he said,
Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever therefore humbles himself as this little child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child for my sake, receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it were better for him to have a great millstone hung round his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea.
And with the child before him, Jesus taught his disciples many things which they would remember and understand to the fullest, only after he was with them no more.
Come, children, hearken to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who loves life, who desires the day in order to enjoy good things? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from deceitful words. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek after peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their cries. The countenance of the Lord is turned against those who do evil things, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth.